Hey there, you, yes you. This is Tommy Patterson, artist on Game of Thrones from Dynamite Entertainment, and you're listening to The Comic Anvil. Turn it up! Bring the noise!
So this is welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 31. There we go.
Huh?
Yeah, you heard me.
Whoa, what just happened?
You heard me. Little time travel going on.
I'm nervous.
No worries. Okay, now I just have to find my comics and we're good to go. This week, we have the Josh.
Hi.
We have the Kyle.
I'm back, bitches.
And we have the Anthony.
What's up?
All right. And me, of course, Mr. Mumbles. Yeah. Who wants to give it a go? Do you guys want to talk about anything exciting happening in the news? Let's talk about news.
What about S.H.I.E.L.D.? What does everyone think of the first two episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I haven't finished the second episode yet.
I haven't.
Did you get that bored with it?
No, I was drinking on Friday when I just tried to watch it. Didn't work. Surprise, I know.
I think it's too early, yeah, but I've enjoyed them, but I think it's going to need time to try and, like, get its footing and decide what kind of show it wants to be. Because everyone keeps saying they want, like, a superhero in it, someone with superpowers, but I'd rather it be just covert missions and all the Black Ops stuff, like what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, and see him use gadgets and all that kind of stuff. I don't need, like, a superhero every week.
Well, I think maybe a super villain, you know, somebody,
yeah, that would
who's
be quite
gone
cool.
Evil. I'd like that. From what I did see the last episode, there was some neat shit. Actually, the thing with the last episode, the second episode that I didn't like at the beginning, there was a little action scene, and it was the cheesiest thing I've ever seen in my life. But then they broke out some special effects after that, and it got better. I didn't finish the episode though, so.
You probably heard, but do you know the cameo who appears in it?
It's Samuel, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's Nick Fury. I didn't want to, like, spoil it.
Oh no, I'm good, man. People spoiled it like crazy on the internet.
It
got spoiled for me. I went on the day after it aired in America. I went on Tumblr, and the first thing I saw was a GIF of the scene.
Nice.
With Coulson and Nick Fury, so I was like, alright, okay, great.
I was on Facebook, and then once it came up, thinking about being Newsarama or something, and it comes up about a cameo, but they showed Nick Fury. So it was like, oh, that's great, thanks for just giving away this cameo. And this is like 5 minutes after I heard there was a cameo, I was like, okay, whatever.
Isn't there something second that happens too, or is, like, the cameo after the credits of the show?
Well, it's the end of the episode. It's not after the credits.
Oh, I thought there was something after the credits, I heard.
Yeah, I thought it was after the credits. I think over here, though, they just put it at the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, a little cut and paste. But maybe.
Yeah, maybe in America it was after the credits, but over here we didn't have to wait until.
I wouldn't know. I watched it in Canada.
Yep. What a lame country.
It could be worse. I could live in Detroit, so go fuck yourself. How's that?
Oh.
I'd be nice until you start being mean.
No, he deserves it. Anyway, no. You know what's about this Nick Fury cameo? Is that, I think that he's not going to be in it again. And if Nick Fury is going to be in it, it's going to be these, like, 10-second parts or whatever. Whatever, these stupid little cameos. Especially what, and it's, I kind of get why. But I think that in the movies they've established that Nick Fury is the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. obviously. And in the Avengers movie, they kind of just implied without outright saying it that Maria Hill is his number two. And with Cobie Smulders still doing How I Met Your Mother, last series.
Yeah, it's the last series. Season. yeah.
For at least this series, she's not really going to be in, and I think that would probably be to the benefit. I'm not saying like have her be in it as much as the team or whatever, but I think just having that authority figure of S.H.I.E.L.D. being it, a recurring character, more than, I suppose, a guest, what they become as stars.
Interesting.
I think they've said Colby's going to do it more when and How I Met Your Mother's finished. She's going to appear. But the thing is, though, everyone keeps talking about stuff that might happen in the future, but it's if the show gets to that point where all this cool shit might happen. Because, you know, you could have, like, fucking Loki turn up, but if the show is going to get cancelled after the first season, I mean, it might not, but if it keeps dropping in ratings, then, you know,
I think this is, go ahead, Josh, sorry.
I think it'll get renewed. I mean, it's too, I guess, big right now to be canceled after one. But I mean, the ratings have to stay around where they're at, like, because they dropped significantly after the first episode. But I can't see it dropping again, you know?
No, that's average.
What's the name? Disney going to try their best not to let it get cancelled. It's in their best interest, I suppose, for it to last as long as possible. But, what was I going to say?
I was saying to my brother last night, since Four's out like next month, it makes sense to have one of the supporting characters from Four in it, like Kat Jennings or Peter, the guy who was in the Avengers, I can't remember his name now, Solvik, the scientist guy, like have him appear in it. One of them, like not one of like the major players, not Natalie Portman. I mean, if she's up for it, then put Natalie Portman in it, but just one of like the minor Four characters to.
It makes sense having Selvig as well, because he have him in the princess helping S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything, so...
Yeah, I think it would be cool if they, you know, they don't want to have, like, the superheroes and that kind of stuff in it. I can understand that, but it would be, like you're saying, like, around the time one of those movies is coming out to kind of build more hype for it, throw him in for two or three episodes.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to build hype for the show. You've not seen these awesome variant covers that they're doing.
Oh, they're terrible.
What are we talking about? What variant
covers? The S.H.I.E.L.D. variants, the character variant covers is like each S.H.I.E.L.D. character from the TV show on the comic. But the choices of comics are really weird though. Like there's a Superior Spider-Man one and all new X-Men. And I don't get the choices they've made. Like why would you put a character from S.H.I.E.L.D. on all new X-Men?
I don't get they do that with variants in general. Why have variants with different characters that are not even in the series or whatever. Like there was Venom variants, I remember, on Iron Man books. So Venom would just be on the cover of an Iron Man one for whatever
reason. Oh yeah, that's when they did the symbiote thing, isn't it? When they just weren't they all symbiote variants or something?
Yeah, but there was somewhere it's just Venom instead of the actual title character. Well, anyway, yeah. It'll be series 2 where anything happens, like with Arrow, which comes back on UK's TVs on 20th of October.
Okay, wait, before you segue into something that's shitty. Don't you think, what is your opinion on Coulson? Is he an LMD or Vision. What? Did he come back magically?
Vision.
You think he's a Vision? So he's an LMD.
Probably a robot or something. Although Bleeding Cool reckon Tahiti might be code for Valhalla. I read that earlier on the Bleeding Cool,
See, that would be interesting. So now there's a great way for them to tie into the new Thor movie coming up is to explain how Coulson came back and they touch on that, right?
I think they'll delay explaining that until near the end of the series.
You know what? It's very Whedon-esque, and just like a season of Buffy, it'll all coalesce into, you know, a nice chapter every season. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. Okay.
Do you think there's going to be, like, direct references of this in future movies?
I don't know. Well, my brother was saying maybe put some of them in the Avengers sequel, but then I said there's going to be enough happening in the Avengers sequel as it is that maybe putting some of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in that might be a bit too much because there's going to be like new characters like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, as well as like the Ultron origin. Maybe Winter Soldier, because I think S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to be quite a big part of Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I think it made more sense in Captain America.
I'm fucking stoked for that movie, I tell you.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. So, anyways, and then you were saying Arrow's coming back when?
Yeah, 21st of October on the UK, 9th of October in America. But what I was saying is that in Series 2, they're bringing more of the superhero, superpower element into it. So they might have to do that.
I heard the Flash is coming, so I think I might start watching.
No, people are butthurt because the guy was in... He's proper young looking, and he was in Glee. So
yeah. do you mean he's young? He's young and beautiful, like pretty much every other character
on Arrow,
in every TV show.
No. Their complaint is, how am I supposed to believe that he's a forensic scientist? But apparently, it's plausible for them to believe that a man can get electrocuted and become really, really fast. They have no problem with that, but because he's young, that's the problem. It's stupid.
It's an interesting theory. I'm gonna check it out anyway.
Presumably he's going to be like training to be a forensic scientist or something like that.
Probably.
I don't know. I might watch it when Barry Allen comes in it.
They should go with Wally. That would piss a fucking gazillion people off. I was watching Justice League Season 2 yesterday. I was playing my free video games on my PlayStation, watching Justice League on the side. But I watched the commentary for the one episode where during Starcrossed. I'm assuming you've all watched Justice League, except for maybe Josh.
I've seen quite a few episodes. I don't think I've seen every episode.
It's the one where they reveal their identities to each other, Batman. So they didn't even know. They never said who the Flash was during the entire series until that point. They were like, we didn't know if we were going to go with Barry or if we went with Wally. And they went with Wally. You know why they went with Wally? Because Wally's cooler, bitch.
Whoa.
Just saying. Everything cool about Barry Allen right now came from Wally West. But everything that's cool about Wally West originated with Barry Allen, I guess, just in the power development situation. Anyways, I'll get off my porch now. Anything else for news, boys? No? Nothing really exciting, except for maybe the 18-part crossover that's been talked about from DC Comics. What's it called? Blight?
Wait, what?
I do believe it's a Forever Evil tie-in. 18 parts, man.
Oh, God.
This is news to me.
Time out. Go ahead. What?
What's going on?
There's an 18-part crossover-ish, I guess. Or maybe it's just he appears in 18 different parts. Something along the lines of, in the wake of Forever Evil, a new evil appears. And it's this thing called Blight, and it's got... It appears over 18 different issues.
Okay, I have one question.
Ask.
Is this going to be in either Batman, Wonder Woman, or Animal Man? Because if it's not, then I really don't care.
I think it might be in the Animal Man. I'm not sure exactly. What did I read about this, man?
Oh.
So none of you guys are on Bleeding Cool right now? What's wrong with you?
Well, it's not on the main page. I just looked then. Hang on.
There you go, you found it. There you go. Read it.
I heard about it as well. But again, this is just... more reason why within the next 2 months I will have finished with Forever Evil.
I'm going to stick with the series and see how well it works by itself.
Yeah, okay, here it is. Part 1, Justice League 24. Part 2 is 25. Trinity of Sin, Phantom Stranger, Part 3, then Constantine, then Pandora, then Justice League Dark, then Phantom Stranger, then Constantine, then Pandora, then JL, Justice League Dark, then Phantom Stranger, Constantine, Pandora, JLD, Phantom Stranger, Constantine, Pandora, and finishing in issue 29 in part 18.
So it's like a 3-month thing from the sounds of it, because you said Constantine 3 times.
Yeah, well, even.
Interesting. So, and does it say that that's just a tie-in? It's non-essential to Forever Evil?
I don't know. It doesn't say that, I don't think.
Doesn't say?
Presumably, it's going to be like our... Trinity War set up Forever Evil, and Forever Evil has probably just been setting up this Blight, and then Blight will set up whatever comes next, and it's just going to keep going and
going. Is Blight running during Forever Evil, though?
Blight will...
I don't know.
Blight will have finished.
Shit, I said that out loud.
Yeah, you did. It was awesome.
Sorry.
No, that's cool.
Forever Evil will still be going when Blight finishes, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
This is why I don't care. It's a whatever. DC do the monthly, that's fine. If you want to do one book a month, I'm not no problem. But all I'm saying is that in 5 months' time, I'm not going to give a shit about Forever Evil. Because it's basically, if you think about it now, it's turned into a 9-month event Trinity War or whatever, building to, before we go to that rubbish for the whole month, Villains Month, she's tying into Forever Evil, and Forever Evil's going on. I just don't care. No, I will not be caring soon.
Okay, let's get on to something that we do care about.
Yeah.
Comic books. Real comic books. Sometimes DC makes comic books, too. We can't see them. Josh can see them, though.
Dumb decisions as well.
Oh, come on now. He's new. Which reminds me, Josh, have you watched Emerald Knights yet?
No, not yet.
What the fuck, dude?
Dude, I've been a very busy man.
There better be pussy involved in that. No?
I don't kiss and tell.
As Kanye says, you don't get no good pussy or what? Did you guys see that shit? Yeah. That was funny. Yeah. I had a good laugh at that. Anyways. Who wants to talk about comics? I would like to... I'll start. Fuck it, man. I would like to talk about a comic written by Matt Fraction.
Ooh.
You guys excited yet?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what it is.
Well, the art... Wow. The art was from Chip Zdarsky. And, I do believe Kyle was the one who was like, check this out. So I did. And I actually enjoyed it. It's a little weird. I mean, there was a glowing penis. But there was time travel-ish type stuff. What do they do? Every time these two orgasm, they stop time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a concept. Wow.
Yeah, what else could you say? So then they got bangs and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's kind of cool. Is that what they were doing? I didn't quite catch that. I knew they were doing something, but I didn't quite catch what they were doing. Well, like, I knew they were fucking. I didn't know what they were running from, though. That's what I meant. Not bad for an Image comic, I guess. Matt Fraction. He does really good on this creator stuff.
It was a lot better than Satellite Sam, I thought. It's the kind of thing I'd expect from the guy who writes Hawkeye for Marvel and Casanova. That's what I want from a Matt Fraction creator-owned comic, all that stuff. For it to be fun as well.
Yeah, it was funny and fun at the same time. And dirty. Which is weird. Apparently he got his nipples pierced for the debut of this book.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that? That's crazy, man.
It was
His nurples are gonna be like fucking 3/4 of an inch long now, like ah, I'm good. We thought about doing that shit when we were younger. Then I seen a buddy who had one. I was like, what the fuck, man? You have like a tit now. Because it does, it makes your nipple get really big and it's bizarre. It was like you could feed a cat for a month on that puppy.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, well. Pierce your nipples if you want, kids. Anyways, back to Sex Criminals. Had some good promotion, I guess. I enjoyed the art. I was surprised. It's not superhero stuff, that's for sure. But it's kind of a... I don't know, how would you describe it, man? HBO with superpowers. Superpowers? Maybe? What do you say? What do you say, Kyle?
I don't know about HBO crap. I do not, still don't understand these American program channel definitions or whatever you want to call them. But I like the...
Rated R, I meant.
Yeah, okay. See? Why don't you just say that? I understand that.
I don't know.
Speak English.
Okay.
Anyway, but okay. Yeah, I enjoyed the art. My favorite part is the art, especially the coloring when they go into the orgasm world or whatever. This all slows down.
When time stops?
Yeah, basically. Like
the orgasm world. Okay.
The orgasm state, whatever. I'm sure Josh Nett is unaware of what a girl, what can happen to a girl. But anyway.
Whoa, come on, man. Hey. Let's keep it civil.
I didn't even quite catch it.
I didn't get after. I think the main character is pretty funny, all things considered. And I think... it's alluded that is that they've probably robbed the bank, you know, when you read the, like the first few pages where it's going on about how her dad killed herself or whatever. So that's probably what, you know, is this going to be an
ongoing until like the story's finished,
yeah,
or until like sales drop too low.
Yeah, it's okay. Described as in the vein of the 40-year-old virgin and Bridesmaids. I've never seen Bridesmaids.
No, neither have I.
But yeah, I guess, I don't know, he's working it. What did you think, Anthony? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I wasn't going to pick it up at first because I didn't really like Satellite Sam. And Satellite Sam is something that should have been appealing to me because it's like 50s TV. Mm. And I like Mad Men. And I think it might be Taken's art, though, that I didn't quite like. But I thought Sex Criminals was pretty good. I enjoyed it. And I'm going to be checking out a few more issues, see how it goes.
Yeah, me too. He's got me so far. I'll give him that. So that's two Mad Fraction books I'm reading a month now.
What's the other one?
Fantastic Four. I guess that's he's almost done with that, though. Kind of. He's going to be doing the outlines, I believe. They're going to finish this story because he got busy with Inhumans, which is amazing.
Have they announced who's taken over after him?
Probably one of those stupid teasers. One of those.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, okay. I would give the book a 6 for a debut issue. It was pretty good. I can't give it a 7. It's got a pink cover.
I'd give it a 6 as well, but, you know, not for the pink cover.
Oh. Anthony?
I'd give it a 5. Because I didn't dislike Chip Zdarsky's, Chip Zdarsky's art. Mm-hmm. I didn't dislike it. It just didn't really do like much for me. Like, it was fine for the story, but it didn't like jump out on me or anything as being anything great. But
okay. Yeah. Well, apparently, Josh, you didn't read that. Obviously,
7 out of 7.
Really? Did you read it?
Just on the title, 7 out of 7.
It's a good book, man. There we go. Here's the beginning of expanding your comic book portfolio. Write this down. Buy Sex Criminals. Don't let your mom see the note. She'll be weirded out. Anyways, seeing as how Josh got to talk about so much on the last comic, we'll get him to pick us a DC comic. Brother, what do you got?
Oh, it's a big surprise.
Is it Batman?
No.
It's Green Lantern.
Yes.
Sweet.
Green Lantern 24. This kind of starts off the whole Lights Out story. Kind of excited about this, especially after reading the issue, because it was pretty damn good.
Why is it called What Lights Out? Somebody's
pretty much there's this new villain, Relic's kind of coming over from this other universe that was basically our universe before, but all the, you know, lights of the emotional spectrum went out, which caused the quote-unquote Big Bang and started our universe.
Is he from the Earth Prime universe? Is that I'm confused. Okay, no, I'm not going to try to understand it.
Yeah, it's anyways. A couple issues deep in that little backstory, but
Okay.
So he's kind of, you know, attacking the different, you know, spectrums right now, and he basically shut down the Blue Lanterns.
It's because Blue Lanterns just sit there and hope that things don't go bad.
Well, he considered them the strongest of, you know, the corps, because they can just amplify the power. So he shut them down first. Plus, they were, you know, there's only like, what, 3 of them? So, you know, then he decided to go after the, you know, Green Lanterns, and the rings have been real, not really functional, shutting on and off lately, because basically the light is starting to die, which is why that prior universe ended. So it's basically foreshadowing the end of this universe.
Weird.
And so he basically, you know, comes and attacks, you know, the Green Lanterns, and Kyle is kind of off trying to defend the Blue Lanterns and kind of came back before he got there, and is kind of telling Hal Jordan, like, hey, there's this guy coming and we got to fight him. And pretty much a battle starts going on, and then the big power Green Lantern power battery basically kind of like shuts down, and there's a lot of shit that's about to go down. And it's kind of cool because it's taking the other books in the series, New Guardians, Green Lantern Corps, I think, and then the Green Lantern main title, and it's taking those kind of 3 and doing it, I think, just over the month. So it's kind of like a short little story, but it's kind of cool because it just happened right this month, and it'll be done.
Oh, so like a mini crossover within the family of books.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. I'm hip to that.
So, you know, it was good. I love seeing them just kind of in disarray and coming out of it. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 7.
Okay.
Cool question about Green Lantern. Cool. Simon Baz, is he even in this, in Green... Is Simon Baz in these Green Lantern titles?
He's not right now, but it's because I read a really good interview about kind of what was going on. I guess he's supposed to make some kind of appearance, but they're not bringing him in currently with this story because he's off with the Forever Evil stuff right now, but he's supposed to come back into it at some point.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hmm. Okay. I guess moving on. Who wants to go? Anybody? Don't make me choose, man.
I'll go next. Okay. I'll jump in now. I'll take some initiative.
Attaboy.
I'll talk for a little bit. Okay. I'm going to talk about another DC title as well. And it's a Villains Month title. And it's Wonder Woman 23.2 Firstborn number 1. This is pretty much the next part. And it's it really is like 23.2, and it's like it carries on straight from issue 22 with it goes into the origin of the Firstborn character, who was the Firstborn son of Zeus and Hera, or Hera, however you pronounce
the name. Is this a Forever Evil Villains Month book?
It's got nothing to do with Forever Evil. It ties into what Brian Azzarello is doing with his Wonder Woman story. It's a Firstborn origin story, pretty much.
Yeah, but it is a Villains Month book.
Yeah, it is a Villains Month book, but it's got nothing to do with all that Forever Evil stuff.
That's okay, sure.
Okay, yeah.
I just heard the point part, and I was like, what?
Well, I read an interview on Newsarama with Brian Azzarello, and he said that he was going to do this anyway, so when DC came up with the Villains Month thing, he just like took Wonder Woman out of the comic, and then the story didn't really change that much. So it was just released during the Villains Month.
Okay.
But okay, yeah. Anyway.
My bad.
It's alright, it's fine. Firstborn, who is, I think he's the brother of Apollo, who's been like the main villain of the Wonder Woman title, trying to take over the throne of Olympus. And Firstborn was cast out by, well, he was the Firstborn of Zeus and Hera, and then he was cast out by Zeus because a witch said that he was gonna take over Olympus's throne, which made Zeus jealous. So then he cast him down to Earth, and then he was raised by like these tigers, and he grows up to be like this really badass warrior, and then he like takes over. It seems like he takes over most of the planet, but like this is like back in like the medieval ages or something, like way back in the past. And then he takes over the planet because he wants because he was denied the throne of Olympus, so he wants his birthright pretty much. And then he tries to rise up against Zeus, and then pretty much just like with a swipe of his hand, Zeus takes everything away from him. Just like, because in pretty much a page, it's just gone from him. All of this stuff he's like took over these years, and then
that's Zeus. And then it, prick, man.
Yeah, and then it cuts back to the present day, and then and then it finishes with Apollo and Firstborn riding off into the distance to cause some mischief, and it's gonna carry. And then it's gonna carry on in Wonder Woman 24. Next month. The thing is, the story, it's actually told through, it's these like three Californian girls telling the story, so the caption boxes are written in the language of those girls, so they use the word like a lot, which might be a bit off-putting to some people, but I thought it was quite good because it was just Azrael getting into the character of these three. Okay, these three girls. So sorry, my dad just said something to me.
That's all good. Okay. Oh man, yeah. Dad, do you put him on the phone? I'll talk to him. I won't.
Anyway, yeah, it was a really good comic.
Sweet, you got to go, man, or what?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Wait.
What?
I don't have to go now. Anyway, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 7. Also, the art, which I didn't mention, is by this artist who I'm not actually very familiar with, because he's got like a, he's got an odd name. I just want to find his name now so I can do it properly.
So Wonder Woman is probably the most solid title next to Batman in the...
Yeah, it is. Because it's got like...
Yeah, it's very good. That, I mean, like you're saying, that art was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It felt
his name's like Apo. It's name spelled ACO, but it's kind of like similar to Cliff Chang's style. And it's got Matthew Wilson, who's been the colorist for the series anyway, so it kind of looks like the same style that the comic usually has in the month-to-month book. But it's like Wonder Woman and Batman as well, they have some kind of like creative vision behind them, and DC just like, I say this all the time, DC just let the creators do, tell the story and let them be. Yeah.
I think because, you know, they need to mandate people like Superman to be a certain appeal, and I really think they're trying too hard to modernize it. I mean, we've got what we've got now. One day he'll be back. The one true Superman. Maybe. Who knows? I'm not applying anything, but I get what you're saying. All right. Cool, man. Does that make it Kyle's turn then?
No. All
right.
Quickly, let's touch on what other number is it? Savage Wolverine number 9.
Really? I have not read this.
Yeah. So I'll pick it up. It basically, it's written and drawn by Jock, which I thought was a little weird because I asked around and nobody can name anything that Jock's ever actually wrote before. Oh. So, you know...
He was the artist on Losers, I think.
Yeah. He's a good artist.
Yeah. So, when you're reading this, when you know that he hasn't wrote anything before and he's predominantly an artist, it can kind of raise some slight alarm bells. But I think... since the dialogue is pretty much just in caption boxes and is very few, and it's just pretty much you go off the art, I think that's what makes this entire issue a lot better than it would be if it was just him trying to attempt some Bendis dialogue or whatever. But basically all the story is that Wolverine's been drugged and kidnapped and been dumped, just comes falling out of the sky, has no idea where the hell he is. But he's on all we know at this point is that he's not on Earth.
Really?
Yeah. And whoever kidnapped him has sent this little boy, not say little, but has sent this kid to go hunt for him, because apparently they're looking for something else. It's even saying that the story, I don't think, is that great, but it's mainly, again, the visuals. Wolverine tearing apart this gigantic, looks like a gigantic flea or whatever.
Space bug.
Yeah, space bug, whatever.
Cool.
Is great to look at. So, yeah.
Okay. Good art, if that's what you're saying.
Yes, I think it goes off the art just... You could, if you want to be that kind of person that just wants to look at the book.
Is it
suffice that?
Is it a one shot or is it part one or two?
No,
I think it's either one or two. But this is what Savage Wolverine is basically taking the place of what Avenging Spider-Man used to be.
Right.
So,
well, no, Superior Spider-Man team up took the place of Avenging Spider-Man.
Screw that! I'm not even reading that crap anymore.
All Savage right. Wolverine is going to be like this title where they just let different creators tell Wolverine stories, pretty much.
I think this is the first issue I missed, to be honest with you. Cool. What did you give that? I missed it.
I'd give it a 4, a reasonable 4, yeah.
A 4? Okay.
I'll tell the story.
Art tells the story. That's how I like my comics. Alright, my turn. Let me see now.
Hey guys, I gotta go.
Oh, what? Okay, what else were you gonna talk about before you go? I'll talk about it for you.
I was gonna talk about Green Arrow, actually.
The book? Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so good.
Is it? What would you rate it? Give it a rating real quick before you take off.
6.
Okay. So everybody needs to know that if the title has the word green in it, Josh is all over that shit. So you guys know. All right, man. You can bet.
All right.
See you later. Thanks, man.
See you, Josh.
Later.
Always nice to have Josh around when he can be around. He's just listening to us now. Beat it. Oh, okay.
No, he can't hear us because he's hung up.
No. So. Poor guy. Must suck to have a life. Okay. Funny guy. Okay. I know which direction the conversation is going to go, so I'm going to talk about something a little bit on that path, but a little bit off of it. Okay. I picked up the all-new X-Men special, number one, part one of the Arms of the Octopus. Because A, it's a Spider-Man, X-Men, Hulk crossover, and B, apparently Doc Ock from the past travels to the future, and then Spider Octopus guy has to fight him, and he's very confused.
Oh my
God. And if you guys have not seen this already,
does Marvel need to have any more time travel?
Well, the timeline's broken.
Yeah,
man.
But Jesus, he's just time travel.
If he's from the past, how does he travel to the future?
Okay, well, I'm getting to that part. Okay. Starts off with the old X-Men, the young X-Men in the future. I don't know what's going on with Hank and Kitty Hank and Jean anymore. Apparently. They made out once, and even he's like, fuck it, I'm going to look for some new girls. So he does. He finds this new girl. She takes him to a lab. And then, shit goes sideways. The doc's like, there's a massive radiation spike. We need to evacuate. Rumble. And out comes Doc Ock in his green and orange panties and his metal arms. And he's looking for David Jude, whoever the fuck that is. Anyways, there's a big... They talk about gamma radiation quite a few times, so obviously there's your connection to the Hulk. And then, yeah, Spider-Man shows up, and he's like, is this some kind of fucked up joke? And then he ends up knocking himself out. And he's putting off mad gamma radiations, apparently, the Doc Ock from the past. And basically, it's to be continued. I think this is going to be pretty good. The next issue is Indestructible Hulk Special Number 1. It looks like Abomination's on the cover, so maybe Abomination's gonna fall through the timeline too. Ooh. So anyways, I enjoyed the shit out of that. It reminds me of back in the... I'd like to say early 90s. Could be mistaken, though. They used to do the annuals for series and have those crossover. Like, they'd do a four-parter. I can remember there was one that was Punisher, Hulk, Silver Surfer, somebody else. Anyways, this is the construction of this story from the looks of it to me. I'm going to give it a 6, just because it's got 3 of my favorite things going on right now in the Marvel Universe. Hmm. You guys didn't see this or anything? Really?
I knew it was coming out, but it's like, Bendis isn't writing it, Wade's not writing it. I don't care.
Well, I gotta finish this myself just to see what the hell. I want to see Spider-Ock beat the shit out of himself. It's like Jim Carrey and Liar Liar. Right?
I lie one every week.
Okay.
I like the art. I like the art from the preview pages that I saw, but it wasn't enough for me to bother.
That's not the same art. Maybe you've seen the preview page. Mike something. Mike. It's okay. No, Chris Anka. Mike Costa was the writer. Anyways, it's different art. It's a little manga-ish.
That's why I probably like it. That's probably why I like it.
There you go. All right. So, yeah. Oh, shit. Okay, I'm trying to look at my comics on the internet here. It's not working out very well. Which I'm thinking would lead into a segue for somebody to talk about Battle of the Atom.
Battle of the Atom, yeah. Last episode I talked about the first 3 parts. Mm-hmm. Well, tried to anyway. Now I'm going to try and talk about parts 4-6. And bear with me, because it gets kind of confusing.
Very.
So, Uncanny X-Men 12... where it picks up with young Scott and young Jean confronting present-day Scott and his team of X-Men. And most of the issue is basically just talking about what to do with the past X-Men. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of talking in the issue. And then it finishes off with... I think it finished off with old Jean, with the X-Men from the future confronting him, and then there's going to be a psychic battle between old Jean, young Jean, Emma Frost, and the Stepford Cuckoos, which leads then into Wolverine and the X-Men 36, which is part 5, where they're having this big psychic battle, and then there's also a lot more talking about what to do with the past X-Men, and talking about fixing the timeline and trying to make the world better for mutants so they can live in peace with humans, because that's what the X-Men do. They want to just coexist with everyone. And then Magic takes past Iceman and past Beast into the future where these future X-Men have come from, just because there wasn't enough time travel already. The X-Men from the past have gone further into the future.
Word.
Where they meet some new X-Men who are apparently the proper X-Men team, and the X-Men team that have come from the future to the past are not like the proper X-Men team. And but this, what my favourite part in this issue, the Wolverine and the X-Men 36, was actually a bit with Deadpool, because there's this page with Deadpool where he just basically says, okay, I've had enough, all this shit is too much, there's too much time travelling stuff, I'm just gonna stand here and I'm just gonna shoot myself. And everyone's like, no, don't do that, Deadpool. And then apparently there's like some seed where he came out with like this big monologue from all, but then it turns out it was all a lie anyway. He's like kind of like manipulating him a little bit, but that seems quite cool. Mm-hmm. And then it ends with some future X-Men, and there's a lot of X-Men in Battle of the Atom. And then we move on to All New X-Men 17, which is my personal favourite part of the story so far, because quite a lot of it is set, well, I think the whole issue is actually set in the future.
I like the opening.
And the opening is Dazzler has been elected the first president of the United States that is a mutant, and everyone's like really happy, and everyone thinks this is going to be the time where mutants are finally going to have some say in society. And then she gets assassinated. And then like these big monsters attack, and it's all just goes shit up.
Yeah, man, those are weird. They're like giant lobsters and shit. What the fuck?
Yeah. And then I think it cuts to the I think it's the Jean Grey school.
Yeah,
and
even more farther into the future.
Yeah, Cyclops and Magic find each other, and they have like this moment, and then there's more talking, and then it ends with, hang on, how does it end? Let me just remind myself. I think it's just Cyclops. Yes. Yep.
Bad time travel.
The other future X-Men go back into the past to confront all the other X-Men. There's so many.
Uncanny X-Men.
And the team from the future that went to the past.
Yeah.
So yeah.
With Battle of the Atom, I think a lot of people have been saying with Infinity that it's very plot driven and there's not many character moments. I think with Battle of the Atom, even though there's a lot of characters in there, there are quite a few character moments with people. Like with Cyclops and Jean Grey, like the big characters. Obviously, some of the minor ones aren't going to get served that much, but I think there's quite a lot of character focus on it, because like in plot wise, the three issues they didn't really move forward that much, and then the plot of the story is basically to sort out all this time traveling nonsense, which is confusing, and get everyone in the right times where they belong and just fix everything.
Yeah, I'm glad this is self-contained in the X-Men titles, because holy shit,
yeah,
it is fairly confusing. It can be.
It's confusing. It's pretty good though. I'm enjoying it, even though it's kind of hurting my head, because there's so many characters. Mm-hmm. There's like fucking three Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
There's like four Icemen. Because Icemen.
Gandalf Iceman is my favourite one.
I love it.
Gandalf Iceman, there's Hulk Iceman, there's past Iceman, there's present day Iceman.
Oh god.
I like future Colossus, he's got a badass mustache.
Yeah, apparently he grew thick. So I wonder if he's got it when he goes back to normal then. Is that awesome.
Right on. Good effort in trying to explain that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think I'd give Uncanny 12 a 5, because it was mostly just talking. I'd give Wolverine and the X-Men 36 a 6, maybe. And then All New X-Men 17 would get a 6 as well, because I really enjoyed All New X-Men 17.
Yeah, me too. It was a big surprise. Nice. I agree. And I'll score the same as you. What do you got to say, Kyle?
Are we all in agreement how ridiculous it is? Are we all in agreement how ridiculous it is, just the concept of even letting the X-Men stay there from day one? Because it's kind of weird, though, in X-Men, when you've got Rachel Summers and Kitty Pryde even going on about how they should be allowed to stay, they should have the choice or whatever.
Well, Rachel is from the future, too.
Yeah, I get that.
But she's been here for a long time now.
Do you know what it is? It's melodrama and time travel, which is pretty much been a part of X-Men for, like, since... for the past 50 years.
It's like, always cool seeing... time. Yeah, it's always cool seeing future versions of your favorite characters.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I enjoy that shit, too. Yeah, how's it all going to wrap up? I don't know. I mean, it's still the basic point I'm reading All New X-Men is, are they going to send them back or not? I don't know. I don't think they're going to. It's kind of weird. Anyways, all right. Next book, Kyle.
Let's... I actually want to talk about Forever Evil.
Really?
Forever Evil. What? Yes. Listen, what?
You want to talk shit about it, or what?
No, I... like, listen, now, this conception about my stance on Forever Evil. All I said was, the moment it gets boring, and without second thought, I will drop it.
Like a rock.
However, I enjoyed Forever Evil, too. So far, I've enjoyed the Forever Evil books. I think this one is better than the first one as well.
Really?
It is a little weird.
Let me just open mine up.
It's a little weird how I think it's been brought up elsewhere. How the justice... we've never seen how the crime syndicate has actually taken over anything whatsoever. What, they're just in control for just because... We've not seen any sort of destruction or... And again, I haven't read majority of the villains' month titles, so I suppose there's that. But I don't understand why the bad guys are just going, okay, we're going to listen to you now. Because they say they've beat the Justice League.
But we still haven't seen the reveal of how they've done it, right?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. They're just going off, for all they know, Justice League could just be locked up somewhere. Because it's just weird like that. But anyway, it ties into as well my favourite issue of Villains Month, aside from Two-Face, was the Secret Society one. Mainly because it actually kind of ties into this one more than the other ones that I read. Where it's basically that one's Owlman and Alfred of what Earth 3 is it there from?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going on about Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson did something in their world. I assume that he switched sides. But obviously, with the crime syndicate now having New 52 Dick Grayson, Owlman's being really protective of him, and he refuses to allow Ultraman to kill him. Meanwhile, Ultraman's got another guy kidnapped, which people are assuming that is either Earth-3 Joker or Lex Luthor.
It's not Lex Luthor from Earth-2 or whatever.
Earth they're from.
It can't, because Luthor's running around making his own fucking Bizarros. I didn't like that part. Yeah, I don't like this new take on Bizarro.
Still New 52 Luthor, though.
Yeah, okay.
So this is good Luthor.
Right, you think it's good Luthor.
All
right.
Probably.
Alexander Luthor. Wait, no, can't talk about that. That's a different crisis. Sorry, go on.
But yeah, there is, like, again, saying about how the crime syndicate, we've not really seen anything, seen like the likes of Ultraman doing anything. But you see, I can't remember what his name is. They're Flash and the Atom. The freaking hell.
Johnny Quick.
I like the Atom. From when she debuted in whatever Justice League issue that is, really, out of the crime syndicate.
I think she's known as Atomica, I think. I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a fucking evil bunch of... they're an evil couple, that's for sure. I thought that was kind of cool what he did to... I guess that's Bart. Bart Allen.
Yeah.
How about we play a little tug-of-war between centuries? Yeah. There's some more time travel
for you. Yeah, they're the only ones that we actually... they're the only ones that we're actually seeing do evil things instead of just say, oh, they're evil because they say they're evil, and that's it. These so are far, that massive dicks, and they actually enjoy being dicks.
Mm-hmm. And apparently Victor's mushy parts are still alive.
Which is... I think is pretty weird. Come on, look at him. When you see him, he's just hanging off his bolt.
Yeah, I know.
You see his ribcage and everything.
I know. Okay. I don't see how he's fucking alive at all, man. But whatever. I know?
I also love how the two ones with no powers have managed to come back.
Of course. Of course. You'd think, if anything, the crime syndicate would realize, do not let Batman get away. You'd think they'd figure that shit out. But no. Owlman's cocky. He thinks he can take him, probably. That's my opinion.
Well, again, like I said, I'm enjoying Forever Evil.
Mm.
Are
you getting Arkham War next week?
Well
it says next. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. This is almost like all the tie-ins you should read at the back of the book here is what I'm looking at.
Yeah. I'm not if it's not in Justice League, I'm not reading it. If it's not in Justice League of America, I'm done.
You don't read Justice League Dark? You're screwed then.
No.
You're going to miss like half the
stuff. Wow.
Oh, jeez. You got to read Teen Titans even.
Oh, God, I'm not reading that. I've heard enough bad things about Scotland that I'm not even doing it. I'm not putting myself through it. So, I'm giving myself a pass on that one.
David Finch's art seemed to pick up a little bit in this issue, I think.
It is a little weird, actually. Yeah, I like the part where, obviously, Flash, Kid Flash or whatever, is getting sucked back in time. I like that part.
Or back to the future.
Yeah. Even the part with Bizarro and Luthor just standing there.
Yeah, man. That's a good picture. I enjoy that. Even though I dislike the origin of Bizarro, I want a square planet with a blue sun. That's me, though. Anyways. All right, what would you rate that shit?
I'll give it a 5.
Give it a 5?
Yeah.
Anthony, you're not reading that?
No, I'm not reading Forever Evil.
Seriously, because you're reading Infinity and Battle of the Atom, right?
Yeah. I'm also just not really that interested in it. I'm sure it's fun for DC fans, but I've just... Because I haven't read Justice League since the second arc, because I wasn't really enjoying it much, because I wanted to see them being superheroes and not being... See them be dicks to each other, so I just thought.
Oh, they weren't that bad.
they were just shouting at each other all the time. You're right. There was that time when Darkseid invaded, so they had to stop being dicks to each other to actually save the planet, and then they went back to just shouting at each other again.
Well said.
Oh God.
I have nothing nice to say about any of it. I'm not impressed with this gimmick of the 3D covers. It has seriously boosted the speculator market. And I've lived through that once, and I don't want to watch everything crap into shit again.
Did I see what? How much the Joker's daughter one was going for.
I did.
Ridiculous. Especially how terrible everyone was saying it was as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I read the Flash, Reverse Flash. I thought it was alright. I have no idea when part 2 is coming out, though. Whatever.
I have a confession to make.
Oh.
I've bought four villains month's titles. And in each one I got the 3D cover.
That's fine.
I don't really know. It was more because of like my comic shop had them. Like I think my comic shop had more of the 3D covers than they did of the standard covers, except for Joker's Daughter, which didn't have any.
Yeah, my shop didn't have any either.
By the time I get to my shop about half an hour before it closes, so I get what's there. But for the most part, I've got quite a few 3D covers. Even the ones Batman and Justice League ones automatically get put in my box anyway. So I managed to get other ones like the detective. The Harley Quinn one and things like that.
Interesting. Yeah, I stayed away from them, basically. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm kind of wishing I'd done that, because I've read my first one like a few times, and I think the cover is already starting to disagree.
Really?
I'm sure it's kind of like curling a little bit, and I think I'm worried that it's going to like detach itself.
Could you put it in a bag and a board?
I could, yeah. I'm probably just going to leave it in a bar for like the next 20 years now.
No, I wouldn't leave it that long. They say after 7 years, the bags will start to bond to the covers.
Really?
Yeah, man. I've switched mine over a couple times in fear of that.
Oh, but that's just...
Dude, you don't have as many comics as I do.
That just costs... This just going to cost money, though. But bags and boards aren't exactly cheap, so...
I know. My shop bags and boards all their comics, and then they sell us the bags and the board for a quarter each. So they get to jack up the price on every comic.
I get bags... I just get the bags with all the books, so they don't charge me any extra, but it's just the boards, which I need more of. But I'll go in about a month or two. I'll go really OCD and organize everything, and then the pile just the gings in a mess on the floor in my room until I do it again.
Man, I have 50 short boxes full of comics. It's very hard for me to organize.
Just bin them.
I gotta do something about that.
The bin.
I don't know, man. It's not that easy. Anyways, what else we got? Anything? Got anything else? Or we've wrapped up an hour here.
I'm not going to talk about Infinity, because just trying to figure out Battle of the Atom was exhausting enough, and just trying to do Infinity, which
we didn't get any Infinity last week, man. I was very disappointed.
Well, the next time I'll try and figure it all out. Oh, I'm going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy number 6, though.
Okay.
Which has art by both Sara Pichelli and Olivia Coipel. Here's the thing. It's another issue with Angela in, and the thing with Angela is... All I really know about Angela is what I've read in all the press stuff, and I need something in the comics. I need them. I know they're trying to keep like a backstory, like a mystery, but I need something in there to make it so I actually care about her. Because right now I don't really like care about Angela at all. So when there's like these scenes with them fighting her, and it's like, okay, they look pretty, but I don't really like care about Angela to be invested in the story, which is kind of like spoiling my enjoyment of Guardians a little bit.
She's an angel. I think they're keeping that part right.
Yeah.
I got the right here in my hand. I wasn't going to talk about it because it didn't really. It was just kind of a brawl fest between her and the Guardians.
Yeah. It does.
Which, you know, it was fun, but
It bugs me though that they made such a big deal.
What?
It's still early days, okay. But it bugs me that they made such a big deal about her coming up, and there's in these two issues or two appearances or whatever, nothing to actually make me even care that she's there.
I think
just give me one thing. That's all I need, is like this like lingering thing, just let me care a little bit, and then I'll be interested. But it's like, oh, she's an angel, oh, she's fighting Gamora now, okay.
Yeah, well, I think that her true intentions are going to show up. But I mean, even the Watcher says in this one, she shouldn't be here. This is impossible. Yeah.
How long?
Because really, forever, man.
Yeah, the Watchers are bit. The
Watchers like Fantastic Four issue 5, I think it was, or some shit. The big deal is, man, is the Todd McFarlane co-created this with Neil Gaiman, and that's the big deal. This is a Spawn character, and they've got him, and that's still kind of a big deal. I bet you. But you told me Todd McFarlane's not too fucking happy.
But everyone keeps saying. But like the last panel with Watcher kind of implies that next issue we might actually get some info. Yeah, info on Angela. I hope so.
I hope they go with hey, she's from an alternate comics universe. Well, I mean, don't say comics universe, but if they go with like, say, the Image universe that she originated in, this would make more sense.
Yeah, she's going to be part of, I think she'll be part of like the multiverse thing they're doing with like the Ultimate stuff, which is probably why they introduced her after the Age of Ultron storyline.
Because of the time breakage.
Yeah.
Yes. See, so Age of Ultron was important, kids. It wasn't as bad as everybody thought.
Yeah.
Give an excuse.
Anyway, going back to Guardians of the Galaxy 6, there's some pages drawn by Olivier Coipel where he's drawing Thanos, and they're pretty cool. There's not many, but they're pretty awesome.
They talk about Richard too, don't they? Or yes. No, that's in Nova. They talk
about
Richard
in
Nova too.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh my god, yes.
Talk about Dick Rider.
Anyways.
But Nova.
Dick Rider. Jesus Christ, don't call him that, man. That sounds like a fucking 70s porno name. Dick Rider. Nova. That's horrible.
So yeah, it was basically a brawl fest with some, and also some bits with Thanos and Star-Lord. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 5 because the art's really nice, isn't it? Like I like Sarah Pichelli's art doing all this sci-fi space though, and drawing like Drax and Gamora. But it's just I'm not, and I know it's coming, and I know Bendis is probably going to do like a heavy dialogue issue where he's just going to basically give us the whole lowdown on Angela. Yeah. It's just I need it before I.
Yeah, he's gonna have to amp it up quite a bit here, because people are gonna lose interest before the movie even comes out. And I think part of the point is, you know, when the movie does come out, maybe they're thinking about trades. You know, when the movie comes out, they'll come back and they'll buy this shit. But if it doesn't make sense, who wants to read it now? I kind of get that.
Yeah, I think it's gotta be the next issue, because issue 8 is an Infinity tie-in with Francesco Francavilla on art, so it's probably going to be in issue 7.
Interesting. But
we're enjoying this, taking forever to actually get these Guardians issues out. What?
There was a gap.
God.
We're getting 2 this month, though, I think. I'm sure we're getting 7 and 8 pretty close together.
Yes, okay. We are. I don't have my phone. I couldn't tell you. I did find an app on the phone.
Oh god, I fucking hope so, because I miss it. Oh. It better be a David Ajar issue as well. If it's not a David Ajar issue, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
There's a delay on Hawkeye?
Yeah, there's a delay on Hawkeye and Guardians.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. It happens.
I need me some fucking Hawkeye.
Really?
That comic, I forget. That's my just wait until my interview. I'm just that's all it's gonna be. It's just Hawkeye.
Yeah, okay.
Hawkeye.
Horrible. Anyways, I'm out of books to talk about. I think I didn't feel very amped for last week. I mean, Forever Evil 2 came out, and I was like, whoop de doo. Kyle, you got one last one, maybe?
Yeah, it's not even a review. All I'm really saying about Marvel Knights Spider-Man, this part 1 of 5. Crybabies Peter Parker's around for this. Be happy and stop your bitch.
Okay.
I read it once, right? Not a proper read, but Spider-Man at some point goes into this weird house where he thinks someone needs help. And at some point, Madam Web has to be a dick, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm not even sure if it's which Madam Web it is, because this one, and probably the old as dirt one. But yeah, basically says that he's got some more destiny thing that he can't avoid or whatever. He gets poisoned and he just starts tripping balls. And
sweet.
Just visually, let's check who the artist is. Marco Ruddy. Yeah.
Really?
I think it's just like the panel design and everything. It's just weird enough, and interesting enough to push the book along. But it's kind of weird though. I don't think it works as well in that it's weird from the beginning. You know, if it was like, say, just give it. Half of the book was normal, and then half of it's just being as crazy, weird, and awesome as the rest of it is. It would have balanced better. Yeah, that's all I had to say about that one.
Okay. I did not read it.
I didn't read it either. No. I was tempted to, because
I don't care. Peter Parker kissed my ass. I know. I'll be interested to see when he comes back. That's for sure. I don't know, man. Everything's fucking tied into something nowadays when it comes to Marvel and DC. Right? Anyways, I guess 'tis the season for the crossover event. which, you know, it seems like there is an event all year long now. Anyways. Yeah. Is that it? Are we done then?
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Different, follow it. I hope you choke on your pride when I make you swallow.